Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you health renaissance people. Okay, today, stoicism. Now, this is probably one of the greatest philosophies, and a lot of you are probably practicing it right now, even though you might not know it. Now, the official definition, and I'm totally not in agreement with this definition, quote, is the endurance of pain, hardship, without the display of feelings and without complaint. Now let's look into this. Now, if we look at dichotomy of control, now this is hugely important because figure Stoicism started way back. This guy Zephyrus, who was possibly a Phoenician, he was a super wealthy guy. And he's sailing along, and his ship goes down. So he loses all his wealth, almost loses his life, and he develops a philosophy of Stoicism. Now, Epictetus was probably one of the most famous Stoics. Now, Epictetus means owned, and so we know that he was a slave. We don't really know his name. But listen to this quote. Some things are within our power, while others are not. Within our power are opinion, motivation, desire, aversion, and in a word, whatever is in our own doing. Not within our power are our body, our property, reputation, office, and in a word, whatever is not of our own doing. So think of that. Okay, so we have a way to what is in control? What is not in control, and that's huge. And I love this one quote: "To live a good life, we all have the potential for it, if we learn to be indifferent to what makes no difference." So we all have that ability. Now, number one, we try to control what is outside of our control, and that's where we have a challenge. For example, we cannot control what other people think, say, or do, but we can decide how we respond to it. So just think of, you know, seeing people running around with masks or, say the news, how, you know, everyone is talking about social distancing and just basic insanity. So that is out of our control. We can't control the weather, but we decide to behave if it threatens a special day or event. We can't control the economy, but it's our responsibility to decide how we react when we lose money or an investment. We can't control a traffic jam, but we decide how to spend our time waiting in the car. So we try to control areas of our life that are outside of our reach. We risk feelings of powerlessness, ineffective, frustrated, bitter, jealousy, resentful, and altogether unhappy. So look at what we can control, what we don't. Now, be aware that you are only in fully control of what our beliefs and actions are. So ask yourself, Where in your life do you try to control things outside of your sovereignty, like the thoughts, the opinions, the belief of other people, the economy, the job, the market, political climate, your body, your age, your hunger, your desire, your emotion? Okay, now that is out of your control. Now, where in your life do you neglect control of things within your sovereignty? Now, number one, your actions. You are in control of your actions. Your thoughts, you are in control of your thoughts. Your beliefs, you are absolutely in control of your beliefs and your decisions. So the things that you're in control of, if you realize that that is the limit of your control, then you're going to have a hell of a lot better way to view our world. Now, I love this. The five basic principles. It's like a roadmap to Stoic philosophy. Manage your expectations and judgments. And if you can, developing self-control exercising clear judgment, and overcoming destructive emotions. Hugely important, because a stoic is a person who remains calm, cool, collected in almost any situation. So the five basic principles: manage your expectations and judgments. And think how important that is, because if your expectations are that you're going to get a promotion, or your expectations are that the world will go back to normal if you just get one shot, or that your expectations are that when Trump comes back in power, we're going to be okay. You know, all of these things are not in your control, okay? And your judgments of those events. Now, be realistic about what you have the power to change. So when you're looking at the change, at what you have the power, you have total control of your actions, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your decisions. That's the only thing that you have in control. The only thing. Now, also, understand the meaning of equanimity and practice it. Now, equanimity, now this is the quality of being calm, even-tempered, composure, evenness of mind, temper, calmness, firmness, especially under conditions of great excitement, emotion, a state of resistance to elation and depression and anger. So this is an evenness of mind. Now, that is hugely important, because when you look at what you are in control over and what you're not. Because remember, you're only in control of your actions, your thoughts, your decisions, and your beliefs. Now, the next one, so the five principles: manage your expectations and judgments, be realistic about what you have the power to change, understand the meaning of equanimity and practice being calm and even-tempered. Call out your emotions for exactly what they are. And what I mean with that is look at how you're responding to something. Are your emotions, and I don't want to say valid, but do they serve you? Because you are in control of your thoughts. So if your emotions are negatively affecting you, then why are you doing that? Why are you choosing to have those thoughts? And then number five, live in harmony with nature, particularly human nature. And that is just about the most important thing you can do. Now, the four stoic virtues, wisdom, courage, temperance, and justice. Now, wisdom, this is the ability you have to choose your response to the stimulus. And that's what is internal and external. So you got a challenge or an event. You have the ability to choose your response. That's wisdom. So you're not going to react right away, you know, with a guttural response. Courage. Courage is the ability to persevere, resist, and persist. And that's huge. Persevere, resist, and persist. Temperance, and this is acting with discipline, self-control, despite the draws of passion and greed. Temperance is hugely important. And justice. Imagine this. This instructs that we're all born for each other, to do good to one another and not for ourselves. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could have a life with just people living along with these four virtues: wisdom, courage, temperance, and justice. there's an old saying: you have the power over your mind. Realize this and you will find strength. My God, that's brilliant. Okay, now the tenets of Stoicism, philosophy. One, manage your expectations and judgments. Now, think of this. When there's a gap between what you want and what you expect in reality, it could cause anxiety, frustration, discord. You can have dreams and hopes and beliefs, but better that they are sensible. Okay, so you can't just like hope that you're going to fly one day unless you're a pilot. You know, you've got to have some type of vehicle to do that. Okay, now be realistic about be realistic about what you have the power to change. Now, a lot of people exert energy over circumstances, things that are out of control. And this is hugely important, particularly in today. You figure, like, Western society has an obsession with winning and succeeding. And reality, these are things that you won't be able to do, even if you put your mind to it. Learn how to distinguish what's in your power and what's not in your power. A good rule of thumb is to start with yourself. Now, practice equanimity in negative situations. Now, equanimity means the calm composure to speak a powerful concept of stoicism called apatheia, which is central to philosophy. Humans are built in fight-or-flight mechanism that triggers any time, which if there's a perceived threat. It works by riling up your emotions so you react instantly and intensely. However, as we evolve, we have more control over our environment and thus more safety and security. This mechanism has remained in place, causing us to overreact in certain situations that aren't life and death. With this practice, you can learn how to master the mechanism instead of allowing it to command you. So imagine if you can master your emotions, you literally change the chemicals your brain secretes. You change your physiology. You change your world. Now, number four, call out your emotions for exactly what they are. Now, how often do you feel unsettled, disturbed about something you can't articulate? In the midst of adverse situations, like, your thoughts are typically muddled by overpowering emotions, so it's easy to misinterpret what you're feeling. By calming down enough to name the emotion and its underlying cause, you'll be able to address the situation in an appropriate way. One unfounded myth that Stoics practitioners seek to suppress emotion, but that's not what they do. They recognize emotion and put them in check so they don't cause damage. So controlling your emotions doesn't mean you suppress them. It means that you recognize them. So if you're feeling angry, frustrated, unheard, figure out why you're having that emotion. And I love this quote. You don't have to turn this into something. It doesn't have to upset you. Think of that. You don't have to turn this into something. It doesn't have to upset you. Damn. Okay, then live in harmony with nature, particularly human nature. Now, ancient Stoics was both a metaphysical and spiritual philosophy. In general, if you seek wisdom, you'll develop deeper insights about yourself and the world around you. You'll sharpen your intuition and replace impulsive behavior with purpose, intention, and logic. And I love this quote, "Very little is needed to make a happy life. It's all within yourself and in your way of thinking." Is that true or is that true? Absolutely. Now, the purpose of Stoicism, and I'm bringing this up because you got to figure, if you are alive in 2020, your world has radically changed in the last year and in the last year and a half. And so the things that you might have held has constant, okay, has you know, always going to be there. They are not there. So it's important that we develop a philosophy that can allow us to survive and thrive in the upcoming environment of inconsistency, I mean, of constant change, of things that we thought were permanent are definitely not permanent. So the Stoics sought fulfillment and happiness, which they believed came through virtue, logic, and reason. And again, if you're saying, look, the whole world is not logical, that is not in your control. You are in your control. You are in your control. And that's it. Your decisions, your beliefs, your thoughts, those are in your control. Now, The Stoics promoted ethics as the primary concern for human understanding, literally the ability to tell right from wrong and act accordingly. Through ethics, we can find happiness. Through ethics, we can learn to work for the betterment of the self and community. A core of Stoic ethics instructs the practitioner to develop healthy control, healthy self-control. And that's needed so we can more easily resist temptations of greed, lust, gluttony, wealth, power, status. And these things are unvirtuous behaviors, and they prevent clear thinking and alignment with nature. While these things themselves are not good or bad, they promote bad behavior, which results in a path to unhappy life. So think of that. Greed, lust, gluttony, power, wealth, and status, they're not good or bad. They promote bad behaviors that results in pathways to unhappy life. Man, friggin' brilliant. Okay, now self-control, and this is hugely important. And think of it. When you arise in the morning, think of what a privilege it is to live, breathe, and love. Now, self-control. To understand nature, we must make an effort to keep a clear and unbiased mind. This requires discipline and self-control to stop temptation of clouding our judgment and negative emotions from pulling us away from the truth of a situation. Now, the truth of a situation. God, I just lost my place here. Now, oh, God. Okay, you ever have one of those things where, you know, you're reading something and you hit the wrong button? Okay, well, I just did. Okay, self-control. Keep a clear, unbiased mind. This requires disciplined self-control to stop temptation clouding our judgment or negative emotions that are pulling us away from the truth of a situation. Destructive feelings can cause us to see things that are not true, threats that are not there, and pull us from reality of a situation. Now, you got to figure, the Stoics, they have the ability to be happy in hardship, content in adversity, and accepting in loss. The development of virtues helps cut the strings that drag along emotions of people when they are experiencing something difficult. The Stoics did not have to eliminate the emotion or run from the feeling. They looked to lessen the hold of these things have on the peace of mind. This was achieved through reason, judgment, and self-control. The use of logic, discipline, meditation, and objectivity that helps Stoics keep their composure in times of difficulty, remain clear-headed to judge the best way to move forward. Oh my God, just amazing. And think of this. Every day when you arise in the morning, think of what a privilege it is to live, breathe, and love. Now, a brilliant philosophy is amori fati, and this roughly translates to the love of fate or love of one's fate. Now, in the practice and accepting and embracing everything has happened in our life and everything that has come before us, it's an understanding that nature of the universe is change. And without that change, we would not exist. We would not experience. Whether change is good, bad, enjoyment, suffering, or loss, it is necessary. And billions of years of constant change has brought us to where we are right now. In that way, we can learn to love fate. Now, if this isn't super appropriate for today, okay, change is, whether change is good, bad, enjoyment, suffering, or loss, it's necessary. And billions of years of constant change have brought us to this. Now, Marcus Aurelius said, "Frightened of change, but what can exist without it? What closer to nature's heart? Can you take a hot bath and leave the firewood as it was? Can you eat food without transforming it? Can the vital process take place without something being changed? Can't you see? It's the same with you, just as vital in nature." And then, "Look to thyself. There is a strength that will always spring up if you always look." Now, okay, so self-control, huge. The love of one's fate, huge. Now, memento mori, or remembering that you must die, as odd as that sounds, okay, now, death, it's not normally we sit around and talk about, okay? If anything, it's something you want to avoid. However, we're all going to die. We're all temporary. And our time is limited, and the experience of this crazy ride to life will come to an end. Now, the Stoics taught that in the constant reminder of death, we can learn how to live. Counterintuitively, thinking about death can help us live better, happier, and more present. And here's how. I mean, for your memorial mentee, it's a phrase that has spanned both time and culture. It's been used in meditation from the Stoics to the Buddhist. Now, memento mori is a reminder that your death is inevitable, that your time is limited. There will be a day when you and I won't wake up to enjoy the beautiful chaos of life. It's one of life's guarantees. No matter where you're born, how rich you are, or what you do during your life, you will die. Death is simply a change, and change is life. And I love this quote, death smiles at us all, but all we can do is smile back. Oh, God. Marcus Aurelius, God bless you. Now, Seneca, again, great Roman philosopher, meditating on death, quote, let us prepare our minds as if we come to the very end of life. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance life's books each day. The one who puts the finishing touches on their life each day is never short of time. Oh, God. And Epictetus said that whenever you spend time with your loved ones, whenever you hug your family or kiss your partner, you should remind yourself that they are mortal, and one day they won't be there. This constant reminder of death helps us appreciate what we have, and impermanence makes things more valuable. And figure Marcus Aurelius again said, you could leave life right now. Let that determine what you say, think, and do. God, I mean, it's just when you think about this, the Stoic philosophers did not see death as a morbid idea that to be avoided. It was an aspect of life to be accepted and used to appreciate each new day, to remain grateful for the time that we have prioritized our actions and not waste time. Truly, if you look at death, if you look at how our world is, how can we appreciate our life? Now, when you look at this philosophy, Zeno, super rich guy, instantly became poor. Epictetus, his name means acquired, so you know he was a slave. Seneca, Marcus Aurelius. So this is literally a philosophy that works from kings to slaves, and it's a way that we can literally take charge of our world. Because, I mean, right now, if you are feeling powerless, if you're feeling lost, this is the way to get our world back. Now, we're going to talk about a couple of things on the private site, on the Dr. B VIP. I don't know how they're regulating the Blog Talk Radio, but I'll try it now. I just want you to know, okay, the pharmaceutical industry, particularly Pfizer, is a convicted felon. Now, Pharmacia and Upjohn, they literally, and this is out of justice.gov, they paid a fine for $2.3 billion for fraud in marketing, pled guilty to a felony of violation, $2.3 billion. Now, we also have a problem with ethics, and this is something that I've got to, I'm arranging my health talk as we speak right now. Okay, there's a Canadian group, and this is an Ethics 101 from a professor who was literally banning, okay, and firing people up in Canada. The legal definition of coercion in Canada is use of intimidating behavior that puts a person in immediate fear of the consequences in order to compel that person to act against his or her will. Coercion. I mean, that's pretty much everybody that's requiring a vaccine if you don't want one. If you do, God bless you. Go get it. If you don't, you shouldn't have to be forced to get it. Now, the Nuremberg Code that enacted after the horrible experience on Jews in World War II states that the consent of the individual to any medical procedure is absolutely necessary. Now, the risk of dying from COVID for those 18 to 49 is 0.0005. So that's a 99.9995 chance of not dying. And which means that the students on the campus literally do not have any risk of dying from SARS-CoV. And that's about the same death rate as influenza, you know, that you would have if you were reasonably healthy and normal. Now, it's interesting because liability, and you got to figure our vaccine adverse event reporting system, so far today, they have 675,593 adverse events associated with COVID vaccines. So that's over 500,000. Okay, now 14,000 deaths, 18,000 permanent disabilities, and 58,000 requiring hospitalizations. Now that's not the big deal. The big deal is that the vaccine adverse event reporting system is the only system we got, and it's completely ineffective. In fact, they get between 1 and 10% of all of the injuries. So you could multiply this by 10 or 100 based on what the events are. Because most doctors don't know that the cardiac arrhythmias or the cardiac myopathies in these little kids or 20 or 30 or 40-year-olds could be related to the shot because they may have got the shot like a week or 2 weeks before. So, you know, a lot of these things are not reported. Now, we know that there's four times higher risk of myocarditis. And this is huge. This is a retrospective study from the British Medical Journal found 12 to 15-year-old healthy boys experience four times higher risk of cardiac adverse events and myocarditis after the second dose of the Pfizer COVID shot than being admitted to the hospital as a COVID patient. The researchers estimate that the rate of myocarditis after the second dose of Pfizer's was 162 per million cases in healthy boys 12 to 15. It'd be higher for college-age kids, presumably, since the Israeli data put the average age of Pfizer myocarditis at 25. I mean, it's nuts. So We're going to go through and change this world. Having a philosophy, realizing that you can control things in your control, and you can't control those things out of your control. What's in your control? Your actions, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your decisions. And these are what we have to hold dear and true, and particularly in challenging times. And if we do not get upset over things that we do not and cannot control, but you do have control of your actions, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your decisions. This is Dr. John Bergman. God bless you, and I love you. This is the voice of reason. We've got to thrive in this new environment because it is constantly changing.